Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, listeners, it's a holy week. Not the one you're thinking of, though. This Sunday, the Academy Awards. Big stuff around here. Big stuff.
I was about to start singing Ave Maria, but then I remembered that that's what you did when I said that Britney Spears should have a prayer chain.
I default to the Ave Maria several times a day, actually.
Yes.
The Oscars are this Sunday. You know, it seems like the deck is stacked for Oppenheimer to win Best Picture and Best Director. I do believe Divine Joy Randolph will win Best Supporting Actress. I think Robert Downey Jr. is a lock for Best Supporting Actor. Actor and Actress, it feels like Cillian Murphy's going to win for Oppenheimer. And Actress is the only one that might be up in the air for me. What are your thoughts?
Was it really that good? Well, first and foremost, last year, I watched every single movie like on purpose so that I could be like so informed.
Right.
Whenever we get to like talking about it. When right. I tell you that I have seen 1.5 movies that like,
oh,
I'm so behind. Every night has to be a cram session for me if I'm even attempting to
so,
like.
So believe it or not, the only thing I haven't seen at this point is a film that has a name, but that I've been calling, hello, I'm Lenny, for the past 6 months. I have not been able to make it through Maestro. It's the only one that I have yet to get from start to finish.
Dominic, I don't know if this is on your list of things to talk about, but did you see how he was on Armchair Expert and he said that he walks around naked?
I can't.
Is that on your list?
It's not on my list.
We must talk about this.
Do it now. He said he walks around naked. Was this the same interview where he started weeping in front of Leonard Bernstein's children, saying that he misses him? Leonard Bernstein died like 25 years ago and never met Bradley Cooper.
He is trying so hard.
All the Reddits are saying, please give him the Oscar so he'll stop.
So he'll stop. So he will please put us all out of our misery. It's so funny that he went from like the most beloved like actor that everyone loved and thought was beautiful and like truly could do no wrong to being like the most hated, insufferable person alive. Like he did this thing and he's like, we walk around naked. I don't even have doors in my house, basically.
Oh my God.
My daughter watches me like take a shit. Like,
That's great. That's really great. What's her vantage point? Is she behind the toilet? Tell me everything, Bradley.
And then apparently he was like, the first 8 months of my daughter's life, I didn't know if I was going to like her. Like that was what something he talked about.
A man with postpartum depression. That's how amazing Bradley Cooper is.
Truly. And it's like, one, that's real. Like, people really do have postpartum depression and it's terrible. And mm-hmm. like, you didn't have it.
No,
like,
you're a man. You're a human. You don't have that. Sorry. Yeah. Didn't happen.
Okay. You're going to find out that celebrities are not just like us in this episode. And we talk about all the reasons why they don't live in the real mm-hmm. world. When we get to another human being later that has made a trifecta of documentaries, films, and albums.
It's a trilogy of terror. It's not a trilogy of terror. It was a try everything and it all failed. We are speaking of Jennifer Lopez, who we will be fixing momentarily if she will let us. Go ahead, Chris.
But if that is not proof enough, like, these interviews with Bradley Cooper are absolutely proof that celebrities truly live in a delusional world that we don't live in, period, done. Like,
I mean, how much more campaigning can this person do?
He's on the campaign trail. Like, it's like there's Biden, there's Trump, and then there's Bradley Cooper. Like, it's like, like, Nikki Haley never heard of her. Like, it's wild, wild.
I think that Lily Gladstone is going to win Best Actress for Killers of the Flower Moon. And I'm in advance, I'm already furious about it because I don't think that she was lead. I think she was supporting. And B, I didn't think the performance was Oscar worthy.
She's getting everything.
She didn't do a bad job. I mean, she was fine, but for most of the movie, spoiler alert, she's like dying. So she just plays someone who's dying, which is not hard. I do that every day on the subway to make people think I have COVID so I can have all the seats to myself. Everyone does. Everyone pretends to be dead on a daily basis. Is it just me? I don't get an Oscar for it.
I know, but weirdly, I feel like if you die in a movie, people fucking jizz their pants over it.
Well, they love it. And if you die and you're the first Native American to die in the category, it's sort of a given. Yeah. Now, you know, we don't want to be incendiary here. Obviously, it is a big deal that a Native American is nominated. I just wish that it was for a performance that I thought was worthy to be in that category.
Who's she going up against?
She is going up against Annette Bening in Naiad, which that was like a TV movie that belonged on Logo 14 years ago. Her and Jodie Foster, fine job, but absolutely get it out of here.
Logo 14 years ago.
Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. Great movie. She was great in it. Sandra Hüller is also in Zone of Interest, which to me was probably the best picture of the year. Moving on. Carey Mulligan, who is nominated for Hello, I'm Lenny. And from what I've seen, is very good in it. But I just can't make it through. And then Emma Stone in Poor Things, which I thought was by far the best performance by an actress in a leading role all year. What she did was phenomenal. She's a phenomenal actress. And like all really good actresses, a weirdo in real life. That's how you know. She's got that whole Meryl Viola, something's not 100% right with them. That's why they're that good. You know what I mean, people. And then you have Lily Gladstone. I think she's going to win. I will clap. I will not stand and clap, but I will clap. And, you know, at least Emma Stone already has that other Oscar for La La Land, which should only be said Faye Dunaway, by the way.
La La Land. Yeah.
Speaking of casual racism, your favorite, Goop. Now, I don't know where she did the interview.
Dominic, how dare you say my favorite as if you didn't have her as the background on your phone? Like, I must stop you right there.
It doesn't go that far, but I do believe you're more obsessed with her than I am. I believe that your souls are matched in a way. I really do.
I think it's because
you love skiing. I think the moment the skiing thing happened, and if our listeners don't know, you're an avid skier. I think that's what unites you and Goop.
Yeah, it really was like on my turf. You know what I mean? Like, it really did. Like, it happened in a world that I know. Yeah,
I believe in my head, because I've never been skiing with you, I believe that you're swooshing down the slopes, wishing well everyone that you pass. I believe you get very close to people. They think you're going to hit them. And instead you just hit them with snow and say,
I am Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, like, I know how to ski.
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow, at least according to our Bible, people.com, Gwyneth Paltrow says, quote, white women have a lot to learn from black women about ruthless self-acceptance. I think white women are taught to be competitive with one another. In my circle of black women, they do not do that.
No, she didn't say that.
Yeah.
Did she really say that?
You know, God, it's way worse. This is what I love about Gwyneth Paltrow is that when we do the news, I don't need to embellish anything with her. I'm reading her verbatim and it is horrifying from tip to tail. Yeah,
that's what you'd usually throw in like I'm going to color, like I'm just going to like, you know, bump this up a little bit.
Because I think, you know, in a poll of all of my circle of black women, when I say, who do you want to be lectured by the most? They say the whitest, blondest person possible. And that is, of course, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know that we need to say anything more about it. It's just one of her speeches.
But she's been like under the radar. She's back on her bullshit. That's what it is.
Yeah.
She was like under the radar for a while, but now she's feeling emboldened to like be a white idiot again. And that's what we're dealing with.
Is it? Do you think we're getting into the year of the white idiot? I mean, it is an election year, so naturally sort of behooves us to call it that.
Yeah. No, she's just, I think she's like, all right, the heat's off me from the ski trial. Like, I'm back. Here I go. And now she's, you know.
What do you think the candle that will be sold on Goop, what will it be called in reflection of this?
Know.
Will it be called My Circle of Black Women or just Ruthless Self-Acceptance?
Ruthless Self-Acceptance. And she's like, and she pretends that she's highlighting like small black-owned businesses, but it's really just, she made it in China.
Yeah, she's a fiasco. Yeah. Speaking of fiascos, I know you have seen the photos of this Wonka world, this immersive Wonka world. Please, I know you're chomping for it.
The fact that we didn't start with this is a crime.
It's a Holy Week. We had to start with the Oscars.
It's so good. The picture of that woman as the Oompa Loompa with that like beaker set there's nothing better than it in the whole world. Nothing better.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go to Google immediately and just Google Wonka World Glasgow. And you will see at what was built as an immersive exhibit into Willy Wonka's world that it's the fire festival of immersive experiences,
it's
basically.
So wow. This is the thing. People just, I know, I'm like mad now. So many people want to be successful so badly and they don't know what they're doing. This was someone that went,
I can hear
I'm
you.
I'm going to make a lot of money. Stop. I want to make a lot of money and I'm going to do this big thing and we're just going to like talk about what we're going to do like for 3 months and not do anything. And then it's going to be the time to like now have the delivered product that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It is infuriating that the fact that this was put on and people actually went to it and had to like be subjected to it is that's what's wrong with the world, the period. It looks like a mall that was abandoned in 1985.
That is a perfect description of it. It does. It literally looks like something you would accidentally come upon in one of the chapters of The Last of Us on HBO.
Yes.
It is something that is just, there's no people.
Yes.
People,
yes.
If I think I read one article where some of the attendees called the police because they wanted their money back.
Which they should. It's a crime was committed.
They thought they were going to be dropped into a world that they would eat their way out of, like Augustus in Willy Wonka.
Like Flume, yeah.
Like but instead, they were treated to like the dusty M&Ms in the candy dish on your grandmother's end table and like an autographed picture from Gene Wilder that was forged. It was apparently a complete disaster.
And guys, everyone's like, oh, I use ChatGPT every day. I use this. I use that. This is what you're getting for the rest of your life. Like, you want to pour into AI? Guess what? The reason anyone went to this is because they had these AI drawings that were like beautiful and like mesmerizing and absolutely out of this world, because it was truly out of this world because it didn't exist. That's what you're getting when you're like, oh no, we should like embrace AI. This is what's happening to you. You're going to try to go show up to a coffee shop and it's just going to be like a man with a, like that's living in a box that like has an espresso machine. And it's like, here you go. That's what you're getting nowadays. If you want to keep, you know, allowing AI to just do what it does.
Period. Speaking of unmitigated trash, let's move on to what really could be the story of the week. Someone I'd never heard of before this week, Alaya Baldwin, who I believe is Hailey Bieber's sister.
Couldn't tell you who she was.
This little minx was arrested in Georgia for, trigger warning, this is disgusting, for throwing a used tampon at a bartender. That's, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like sister of a famous person behavior. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like fame adjacent sibling brat bullshit. I don't want to know any of the details of the story because I like the headline. I don't want any facts to ruin it for me. She threw a used tampon at someone and period. That is the headline and the body.
It's giving like in the same bloodline as Alec Baldwin. Do you know what I mean? Like, giving like somewhat has 30% of the same DNA as Alec Baldwin is what it's giving. Wait, hold on. I'm having an epiphany.
Okay.
Because you know that there's like stories out in the press. And when I say press, I mean people.com's Instagram, that Hailey and Justin are like on the rocks.
Yeah. What and is someone, that about?
Her dad or someone was like, pray for them, please. Like, so someone was like admitting that they're on the rocks. And so what if she had to do this to get the heat off of them?
You think
she's like, I know what'll happen.
Now that's like, I know that sisterly behavior. So you know what? I know how to get my sister off of TMZ. I'm going to throw my tampon at someone in public. I don't know. The Baldwins have done crazier things.
They sure
that's
have.
For sure. Cucumber. They Cucumber. Sure have.
Wait, someone, did you see that someone sent us? I think I posted this. Someone was feeding their dogs cucumber slices. It was like, how you say cucumber?
That was Dame Erin Bagwell.
Oh, was it really?
I think it was Erin Bagwell. And she.
I don't think it was.
We have to go look. I think that she might have tagged us. I think maybe she reposted it. I could be wrong. Who knows?
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
I think it was on her page.
It was hilarious.
Keeping with our trashy fame adjacent sibling theme, Noah Cyrus, who
I'm so ready for this.
Whenever you're reading something about Noah Cyrus, nothing after it is ever good. Like she's just someone who pops up, embarrasses her family, and then goes away, shaves her eyebrows, whatever. So Noah Cyrus is Miley Cyrus's sister.
Correct.
They are a family of five siblings of Billy Ray, Achy Breaky Heart Cyrus, and his long-suffering wife, Tish. Well, Billy Ray and Tish are divorced. Tish has married Dominic Purcell, he of Prison Break, which you might remember from Fox a few years ago. So she marries Dominic Purcell. Noah Cyrus comes forward and says, I dated him before my mother married him. Disgusting. Disgusting.
I don't think that Noah is talking to the mom.
I don't know if anyone is. I don't know which of
They're
the siblings
like
went to the wedding.
Or whatever.
Yesterday, Miley Cyrus released a statement saying she had no idea that Noah had dated this person before her mom married him, which is translation for, I don't talk to Noah because I want nothing to do with her. I won record of the year. My family is garbage. Get away from me.
Yeah. Well, the mom is like two hairs away from Dina Lohan. Are we correct?
Yeah. And has always been that way, I think, but now it's just starting to come out. You think she was in the Rockettes with Dina? You think that they shared a dressing room?
Stop.
The fake Rockettes?
That's like, no, but like, yes, I do. I think that they went to the same fake Rockettes situation. Like, there's like family drama there that we like don't even know. And the fact that you don't even know that this man that you are signing on the dotted line to marry was at one time, like possibly had sex with your daughter.
This is what I think for real. And if it sounds mean, I'm sort of unapologetic. I believe Thanksgiving at the Cyrus house with all of them at the table is like a scene from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's what I think.
I think
they are all like I think they're genetically insane, the entire family.
Yeah. I think that doesn't even exist. Like they're not even all there together. Like they're all in their separate home.
I mean, considering Miley didn't know that her stepfather used to date her younger sister, they're probably not. There's no family chain there. Text chain is what you're saying.
Yeah. But like, A beautiful story. Beautiful story. Yeah. Exactly what we want to see on people.com's Instagram is this. And like that picture they keep using of Noah, how dare they?
It's first of all, she looks the same in all of them. She's like this eyebrowless alien person. It's a look. Yeah.
She's like iRobot. Yeah.
Speaking of families in constant turmoil, Catherine Middleton Windsor, also known as Princess Kate, finally spotted in public in a car being driven by her mother. I don't know if it was from the hospital to home, but she is alive. She is not deceased, as many of the Reddits have said.
Yeah.
You know, it's an ever-evolving story. She has booked for her first public event on her calendar is for June 8th, and I can't remember what event it is, but you know, that's many months away, which means there's a long recovery for whatever she was actually in the hospital.
I wonder what it is. That's a long time.
And we want to fix the royals in general and find out what's going on with Kate, because several of you have been writing and asking what's up. We actually don't know, but we do have a royal correspondent, you know, Kristen Meinzer, and we're trying to strategically plan when we have Kristen come on, because we want to make sure that in between taping and airing that the royal family doesn't have several more crises that we are not covering.
Yeah, it's a developing story. So we're like, if we do it now and then release it in a week, it like doesn't matter anymore because God knows what's going to happen. Now that she's been spotted, it changes everything.
We need some more facts to be made.
I mean, Dominic, what could it be? What could it be? That's their only job. Their only job is to make public appearances, period.
Right. Stay alive. So that's your job. Stay alive.
If she is not making an appearance until June 8th, that is like, what's wrong?
She could have stomach cancer, or she could have something wrong with her that they don't want to panic the subjects, because so many other people are ill in the family. They have so many problems right now, which is why they're ripe to be fixed.
Well, it's crazy that like she goes away and then Charles has cancer, and truly like they just fall apart at the seams. Like within a week, like this family that has put on a brave face for my entire life, even through like deaths of princesses that are beloved by the world, mm-hmm. like is at the drop of a hat, just like completely unravels. Like it was kind of crazy to watch. Like these people that their only job is to like look like they're having fun and like look, you know, just appear places and be okay. Out of nowhere, it was like, no one can show up.
Nope.
There's like 17 of us in this family, but like not one of us can show up to do our royal duties because we're all doing A, B, and C. Like it's wild.
Speaking of that, Queen Camilla, which every time I say it, I have to go, because I just can't believe it. Queen Camilla is going on vacation because she is exhausted, because ever since King Charles has announced he had cancer, she's had to like absorb the brunt of all the public appearances, and she is exhausted. So she's going on vacation. Okay, girl.
This is Meghan's influence.
You think she's destroyed it?
No, I'm just saying like everyone's now like, oh, it's so hard to do this. Like Meghan was like this, I'm out of my mind and I'm like having thoughts like, and I need to like, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of them, even though all they did was fucking destroy her in the press, like now all of them are like, oh no, I need a sabbatical.
That's an interesting observation, because obviously Queen Elizabeth was the absolute icon of unflappability when it came to being a member of the royal family. And maybe Meghan Markle was like the person that came in there and was just like, you don't actually have to do this. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. I mean, I think Camilla actually started writing that book 40 years ago when she, you know, went after Charles, but
yeah, speaking of
successfully,
tampons.
Seriously. Do we think that Prince William, is this true? We have to ask Kristen, is it true that he has this girlfriend? Because we're here, that he's got
what's that? Dominic.
Well, I mean, I'm sure do.
Of course he has a girlfriend. What do you mean?
But like, but is he repeating what his father did, I think is what the internet is asking. Like,
no, I really hope not.
I hope not either. I like Kate Middleton.
Well, wait, here's the thing. Maybe we need to have Kristen on in an intro, and like, she needs to just clear up some stuff for us.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
Maybe she needs to come on. We might need a royal correspondent coming on sooner rather than later to answer some of these questions.
To come on during our news segment.
Yes.
I don't want to call it Hot Topics out of respect for The View and Wendy Williams, but truly. I don't know. We need to think. Listeners, if you have a name for this top half of the show, can you let us know? Because I just keep calling it news, but it is in quotes. I'm spelling it N-O-O-Z, news. Speaking of royalty, let's go to American royalty. I am, of course, speaking about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Of course.
Heather Gay, who may be my favorite housewife ever now for a billion reasons. Heather Gay has come forward and said, I'm on Ozempic and body positivity was a lie. How disappointing that body positivity was a lie. She did an interview with ABC's Deborah Roberts. And if you get a chance to watch the interview, Heather Gay actually says, yeah, it's disappointing that body positivity was a lie because it's better not to be overweight. Deborah Roberts sits there in stunned silence looking at her.
As we all would. Like, what would we say? Like, what would any of us say other than just start laughing?
I mean, in Heather Gay's world, that is the bomb of truth. It is just better to not be overweight. This is someone who, the moment she appeared on the show, people started calling her Shrek, making fun of her body. So she had her face done. She had the shots. She's looking thin, feeling great about it, and is just saying probably what a lot of people think. You know, it's just like I was body positive until I realized I could take a shot that made me lose the weight. And now I am body negative because it's just better to not be fat. And she's saying that word for word, unabashedly. So in her circles,
Ozempic has reshaped American society.
It's insane. And I was going to leave this for the end, but since we're on the topic of the big O, let's talk about Lady O, Oprah Winfrey. Announces she is leaving the board of Weight Watchers after 10 years. This comes a couple of months after she has admitted to being on the same family of weight loss drugs, which cannot be good for Weight Watchers because Weight Watchers is not a pharmacy. It's a place where you count points and there are zero shots in the Ozempic. There's 0 points in the Ozempic shot.
Yeah, there's 0 points in Ozempic. She owns Weight Watchers now. You know that, right?
Yeah. But she won't be sitting on the board anymore. And I believe
Does she need to?
Oprah doesn't need to leave the house, actually. Like, why she even works anymore is an illness. Like, you're 70, you're thin. Go get laid and enjoy all of it. Like,
no, she doesn't want that. She doesn't want that. And this is the thing, is it's like, if there's one human being that I'm going to give a pass to for this, she has been destroyed in the press for her entire career because of her weight.
Yeah.
Like,
but
if there's one person that I can be like, okay, you deserve this. Like, you've done enough. Like, just be on Ozempic and let it happen. It's her.
She's a role model in several arenas. We're not going to take anything away from Oprah. However, you know, she's been tortured by her weight. She also carried out a wagon of
fat.
I mean, she also threw it in our faces.
Never forget the radio flyer.
So God love you, Oprah. I think that you should just sell weight. I don't know what becomes of Weight Watchers. She's saying now that she's using these weight loss drugs just as maintenance. Okay. Well, we'll see. I don't know that that's a business model for Weight Watchers. It's like, here, try our gluten-free drumsticks and also take this shot, which will make you not want to eat the gluten-free drumsticks. I don't know how it works. I'm still using my Deal-A-Meal card set from Richard Simmons that I bought on a Discover card in 1992. It is not working.
Did you ever go to like Slimmin's or whatever it was? Why do I feel like you would be front row at Slimmin's?
I did at one point. I have I didn't go to Slimmin's. I've had so many friends who've gone and I wish I had gone when Richard was still doing it. I did when I was in college, I gained a lot of weight. And then I think the organization was Diet Center, which is sort of like Weight Watchers Junior. And I lost weight on it, which I promptly gained back the moment I went back to college.
Yeah, of course.
I've hopefully this past year, I lost 50 pounds this year, hopefully for the final time, but just like, I don't know, not growing up, but I guess you could call it that. I was just like, okay, stop. Like I stopped drinking mostly and I'd just been just been doing it normally. Everyone I know who's on Ozempic was already, in my eyes, thin. Like everyone I know who's on it didn't go from fat to thin. They went from like medium to less medium instead of just, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Medium to less medium.
But look, it's your body. Do what you want.
Speaking of thin and you losing 50 pounds, have you been using the neck cream that I bought you for your birthday?
I haven't used the neck cream that you and your mother bought me for my birthday. I'm going to start using it. I think I'll TikTok it at the Oscars. I think because your mother said that neck cream is going to burn, I should catch it
live. She said it will burn. She said it will burn when you first put it on. And I was like, okay,
happy birthday. Put this on. Have an ice pack handy. No problem, yeah. Lori. Thank you. Shannon Doherty back in the news because she is just on some sort of multi-year journey to burn every bridge she's ever crossed. And that is fine. She has a podcast. And the latest bit of news from her podcast is that she is recounting a heated fight that she had with Jenny Garth back in the day. Brian Austin Green was a guest on her podcast, and she talked about Jenny Garth losing it on her because Jenny Garth used to do this day where she would pull people's pants down. I'm not making this up, on set. And Shannon Doherty, in order to get back at her for pulling people's pants down, had a lift your skirt up day and did that to Jenny Garth. And Jenny Garth apparently lost it on Shannon Doherty. And here we are 30 years later, and it's a headline in the Post and could be maybe the most insignificant story we've ever done on this broadcast before. But if it's in the Post, I feel like someone gives a shit about it. Interestingly, as I went down this wormhole with the Shannon and Jenny underwear feud from many years ago, I did see that Sarah Michelle Gellar, who I knew many of our listeners are fans of, has publicly come out in support of Shannon Doherty in the midst of her feuds with literally everyone in Hollywood, particularly one Alyssa Milano. And Sarah Michelle has said that Shannon Doherty is a wonderful person and deserves all the flowers being thrown at her. That's your Buffy update for the year. I probably won't talk about her again.
It's so sad because these people are just like clamoring for something.
It is. It's their clamoring.
Like, it's like just Shannon Doherty. Like, I don't even know.
Go enjoy yourself.
Nothing I'm going to say is going to be nice.
No.
Like, it's just like you have a lot to focus on. Like, focus on that. Not talking is about a story about Jenny Garth on the set of Beverly. Or what is it? 90210.
Yes.
Like, you know, like,
are you that young? You need to be reminded of the name of that show.
I'm like, was it called Beverly Hills 90210 or was it just called 90210?
It was.
But do you know what I mean? It's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't know. We're spiraling. That's what 2024 is all about. We're spiraling. That's the only way Buffy the Vampire Slayer gets in the news is to say Shannon Doherty's great. That's what she's been reduced to.
Yeah.
Speaking of age, I don't even know how to say this. Chili from TLC, the group, by the way, not the network.
Everyone knows.
She's a grandmother. Chili is a grandmother. And she's 53, and so am I. So I'm going to probably throw myself in front of the one train today. My contemporaries are now grandparents. It is over for me. Goodbye. Why am I even trying to lose weight? I should be eating whole cakes for breakfast. It's done.
Yeah, true. Honestly, a sheet cake. Just piling it in.
I love a sheet cake.
Oh God. Yeah, it is daunting. I won't lie to you. Just to hear that.
Was TLC a part of your life at all? It was. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, are you kidding
me? I don't know. I can't remember the age gap. Like, cause I remember listening to them. I guess in high school and college it would have to be, but I don't know how that translates for you and your.
Yeah, I was young. I was young, but it was like, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. Are you kidding me? That was like on the radio every day when I was a kid.
And finally today, just because we haven't said the words Taylor Swift in the past half hour, Jason Kelce, Taylor's faux brother-in-law, has announced his retirement. And in doing so, gave an emotional, tear-filled speech where he talked about meeting his I don't know if they're married or not, but his partner, I think her name is Kylie, and then talked about Philadelphia being the city of brotherly love, saying it was a feeling that he knew all too well, quoting Taylor's lyrics and invoking his brother. And
give
I just
me a
thought,
break.
Taylor Swift joins this family and now they are all fucking gay. Every single one of
truly,
them.
Truly.
Congratulations, like, Taylor Swift. You did it.
I don't want to talk about them anymore. Like,
this
for
is
real.
It?
The Kelces, like, I'm not, it's going to be a no for me, dog. Just
that's going to be a challenge. Well, I mean, she has an album coming out in April. I am sure that Travis is going to be on the press tour. If not, Kelsey Grammer himself will be there.
Yeah.
And you'll just have to go take a bathroom break.
I'd rather talk about Shannon Doherty every 5 seconds than
I'll do that for the rest of the year.
And I don't want to talk about Shannon Doherty for the record.
Can we talk about Brian Austin Green? I'm looking at photos of him. He's still a piece. And he always will be. David Silver will always be, in many ways, the hottest male cast member of the cast of 90210.
Yeah.
He's definitely grown into it.
Well, speaking of All Too Well, I don't even know. I don't have a good segue.
I want you to leave that in here because I want people to know we're human beings and we fuck up segues as well.
Well, just to say, we celebrated 1 year of this podcast recently, and I put a thing on Instagram, and when I tell you that, like, the comments and the love that we got back was astounding. This has been so much fun to do, and I feel like we do this speech, like, every 3 episodes now.
We do. Because we're obsessed with ourselves, like today, just like everyone we've just spoken about and everyone we're going to.
Yeah. And we just are so happy that you guys listen to the show and that you care and that you write in and that you Photoshop us on Tomato Girl and stuff like that. I have so many Photoshops that I need to post that is like, I'm bursting at the seams with them that I need to put up there on the Instagram. But like, congratulations on 1 year, Dominic. And
congratulations, Christopher.
We're so happy that you guys love this show.
We are so grateful. We're truly grateful. And we put a lot of work into this as much as we can, given that we have pretty demanding day jobs and other things going on in our lives. And we are trying in this next year to put more effort into it. So Chris and I are announcing here to our bosses that we quit. Just kidding. No, we can't. We got to pay bills. Stop it. We are announcing that we are going to be adding new fun little tricks and twists into the podcast over the next couple of months. Hopefully by the end of the summer, it'll be a more immersive experience, but not like the one in Glasgow with Willy
not
Wonka.
The Wonka. Yeah, it will. Well, the sad thing is that it actually will be like the Wonka one.
I will wear an Oompa Loompa wig on this podcast. I have no problem with it.
I'll be that woman.
I'll wear a merkin of that. I don't, and show that online. But we love you all truly. This has been such an unexpected surprise by the feedback that we get from everybody. And we love you. Please keep listening. We're going to make it even more fun. And as self-indulgent as we sound right now, you ain't seen nothing yet because we are about to fix Jennifer fucking Lopez.
Affleck.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm just telling you, in the next 45 minutes, I'm going to set a Fixing Famous People record for the amount of times that I say, how dare you? And they will all be directed at Jennifer Lopez.
We have been arguing for the past 10 minutes off recording of like how we do this and what, like, we are rushing to this recording so quickly because it must be given to the people as soon as humanly possible. And there will be slip ups, and that is what it is.
I've been witnessing the boys strategize the approach here.
It's a hot potato I'm holding.
Jen and Ben? Her latest trilogy of terror that she has released onto the planet is so massive that we're going to have to push. We will speak of Ben Affleck, but we will push him to the side and take care of him in a later episode, because the album, the documentary, and the film that the documentary is about are, they're taking over. They've taken over and possibly ended pop culture, actually, as we know it.
We had to bring in a heavy hitter. You know her, you love her. Jess Rothschild from Hot Takes and Deep Dives. She's here. We set this episode up being like, when like they were fighting at the Grammys, and we were like, oh my God, this will be fun to like fix them. Then we find out about the album. Then we find out about the film. Then we find out about the documentary about the film. And when I say film, know that I'm putting air quotes up. So we were like, okay, we have to delay because we have to watch the film. Then we had to delay again because it's like, there's a documentary that's coming out about that. Like, we have pushed this back so many times and now we're here. I'm chomping at the bit. Jess, welcome. Thank you. Here we go.
Thank you. Right off the heels of our Madonna Truth or Dare.
Correct.
That's right.
Which is now available. It's on your Patreon, but it's on the Hot Takes and Deep Dives feed for the world to enjoy.
Listen to. So they can go get it.
Wonderful.
They can go get it right now.
Go get it right now.
Before we even start, because I know we're going to get on so many tangents, let's do middle names.
Okay.
What is the middle name of Jennifer Lopez Noah Judd Anthony Affleck?
How dare you? How dare you?
I mean, this is some Joan Collins shit happening right here.
Is it Lynn?
It is Lynn.
What?
Yes, it is Lynn.
It's because I spend so much time on their, I love J-Lo and Ben Affleck, that I spend so much time on their Wikipedias, I actually know this.
Jennifer Lynn Lopez. She is 54 years of age, and I think everyone on the planet can agree, is absolutely maybe the best preserved, most gorgeous looking 54-year-old human being that has ever lived. Well, this is where I think we should begin.
Okay.
We're not going to run down the career of Jennifer Lopez. It's something that's injected into when you're born in the hospital. Yeah. She's a superstar. Is she Beyonce? Is she Taylor? No, she's Jennifer Lopez. She's A-list. Everyone knows who she is. We don't need to go through the whole thing. She's been in our lives for 25 to 30 years, started out as a fly girl, was a dancer, and then became Jennifer Lopez by way of Selena, etc.
I must say, the thing that you might forget about her that you have to go back and look at is the Versace dress. Like, that is the one thing I will point out of, like, when she wore the Versace dress with the plunging neckline, which she, like, redid, what, only a couple years ago?
Why do you think people would forget that?
I don't know. I'm just pointing it out. I just think it needs to be said.
Because it was a bit of a breakthrough. I mean, it was sort of like the first, like, Liz Hurley in the clothespins dress and Jennifer Affleck in the plunging neckline. These are like from the same period of time where, like, turning a look could do something. Vivica Fox did the same thing when she was on the run. She was on a red carpet with 50 Cent once, where it was just like, it makes a career. Like, it really does bump them up.
The J-Lo dress, like, it changed everything. Like, it truly changed everything.
It catapulted her. Like, it was definitely a moment. But she's still in our lives because she is a superstar, there's no doubt. You know, she always has celebrity marriages. She is a celebrity. She is a star. Like, and there are, I'm not saying movie star. I'm just saying star. Like, she is of the old Hollywood ilk, celebrity husbands.
Kind of like a lot of people play the game star or actress. She's a star.
She is a star.
100%.
Absolutely a star.
100%.
And last year, she split halftime duties at the Super Bowl with Shakira. The year before that, she missed out on it. It was either the year before, possibly 2 years ago, she missed out on an Oscar nomination for Hustlers. So she's always finding a way to do something artistically that keeps her on the front burner.
I will say, not for nothing, she was incredible in Hustlers. Like, the best acting role, best acting role outside of Enough, her best movie ever, that she's ever done.
I think so too. And I think that she should have been nominated. I don't know who I would have swapped out, and we can look it up, but I think it was intentional, her not getting nominated.
And I think,
Chris, you like Enough more than Out of Sight?
Yeah. But like, I like Enough because it's like the worst movie I've ever seen. Interesting. Like, I like it because it's the worst movie ever. But like, it's so good.
Out of Sight is a legit phenomenal, sexy ass movie.
Oh no, I'm saying Enough because it's like out of control.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like not really, like as a joke.
Okay, got it.
Hustlers, in my opinion, is what brought her back to like, it reintroduced her. And when she, in that first scene, got on that pole and she was wearing like two pieces of dental floss put together and her body was absolutely out of control. You saw everything but her areolas, her clitoris, and her fucking like
most importantly
labias. Like truly. Mm-hmm. Like that's all you didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, set to Criminal by Fiona App.
Yes. Like,
oh, that's right.
It was that itself brought her into like, oh yeah, she's still the hottest person alive. And like, why are we not having J-Lo and everything? Because look at her body. Like, just look at the beauty that is in front of us. And in my opinion, that restarted her career and like to the next.
Watching her in the documentary, when you see her working out in her gym, I was very turned on.
Oh yeah. No, I'm sure she's in it every, like you don't get that body from sitting on the fucking couch.
No, she works her ass off. She doesn't drink a drop
of alcohol.
My favorite scene was after her first number in Hustlers when she goes up to the roof to have a cigarette and she is basically wearing a fur coat so large that it doubles as a duvet and she's in a bikini wearing that laying on the roof of the whorehouse. Excuse me, the dance club. Don't write in. Stop. So once I saw that, I'm like, she's going for it. She's absolutely going for it.
It's amazing.
It was a great performance and it was camp and it was great. And then, well, she did that and then COVID happened. So everyone sort of goes underground for a little while. But then she resurfaces with the halftime show, which there was a mild amount of controversy that she had to split it with Shakira. Honestly, from fans of both people thought that each woman could have handled it on their own.
100%.
I was happy that they combined and I thought that it was fantastic. A lot of people, I mean, everything she does is backlash, but anyone who's hot, especially hot and older, will get backlash every time they leave the house and be told that they should cover up because it's inappropriate. They both looked insane.
She got on that pole and everyone was mad at her at the halftime show. An Usher's performance, there were people on the pole doing splits and busting it wide open. And no one said boo about it. So there you go. Okay, one other thing we have to discuss before we get into this. And then I'm chomping at the bit. Remember at Biden's inauguration, whenever she sang, what was it, like America the Beautiful or something?
Oh, and I forgot about that.
And I sing it every day to myself. When out of nowhere, she's like singing, I can't remember which one it was, but like, America, America, like whatever the song is. And then she just goes out of absolutely nowhere. She's like, God rest your faith on me. Let's get love.
That was the greatest.
She tried it.
I love
she tried it.
She really plugged herself at a government event. She really did.
And everyone was like, blink, blink, blink. Like they were like, oh yeah, beautiful. And they were like, is that the words? Like you could see people in the audience like being confused, including the entire American people tweeting about it. Like it was, oh God, I just needed that to know. I needed to bring that up so we could just live here for 1 second before we move on and just know. And like, again, a hustler, as you said, Dominic.
So obviously then 2024 rolls around and J-Lo says, hello world, remember me. I am about to make my mark. Essentially, I feel like J-Lo is doing what everyone in entertainment is doing and is like, I need a slice of whatever Taylor and Beyonce are doing, which is like, they just turn on a faucet every 6 months and shoot out a new project that takes over entertainment, whether it's a film or a tour or whatever.
Correct.
And so she decides she's going to do all three at once. First, she's going to release an album, her first in, at this point, 20 years, I believe.
That's not true. In the documentary, she said that, like, I haven't released an album since. And
she said 18 years in the doc.
She has had, like, 17,000 albums. That doesn't make, go on her Spotify right now.
Okay. Are you arguing with me or are you arguing with Jennifer Lopez?
I'm arguing with Jennifer Lopez because this part really made me mad. It's not. She had an album in 2014, an album in 2011, an album in 2007, an album in 2005. Like, she had
been 10 years.
Album 10 years ago.
What album came out in 2014?
AKA?
Yes, it's been 10 years. That's it.
10 years. She acted like she hadn't released an album since she put out that This Is Me Then album.
Well, she didn't just act like that. She said in the documentary that it's been almost 20 years.
So many albums since then. Like, there was one. Remember, like, On the Floor?
I do.
Like,
yeah, that was a huge hit.
6 years after she put out This Is Me Then.
Are we misinterpreting what she said in the documentary?
I rewound it like three times and she truly said, like, I haven't done anything. I haven't put out any music in 18 years or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not making it up.
It's just categorically untrue.
All right. So I apologize to the listeners. I was actually using facts stated in the documentary though they were true, and Chris has corrected.
That was your first
me
problem.
And Jennifer Lynn Lopez. So first comes the album, and then comes what Jennifer's team says is not a music video, but what is actually
over and over again.
I mean, they just keep repeating it. And when you see this on Amazon Prime, it is called This Is Me ... Now.
No.
It is a series of music videos, very, very loosely tied together with twine, with fraying twine as some sort of narrative where it is autobiographical about the last 20 years of Jennifer Lopez's life. And it is also very much not autobiographical about Jennifer Lopez's life.
It doesn't answer the one question I had about Jennifer Lopez.
Which is?
How did they get back together? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see the text messages.
Jess, we're never getting that. That's exactly, we're never getting it.
Print the text messages. Were they in touch the whole time? Did he send like a you up text? Like, how did they get back together? That's the only thing I want to know. But instead, I have 4 hours of bullshit to
of
say.
Mud it and well, sexy bullshit. Welders.
Mud.
Yeah.
So this film, this Is Me Now, they drop a trailer for it a few months ago. And you know right away, this is bonkers. Like, you already, everything I thought that this would be from the trailer, it was exactly that. A complete mess. A beautiful mess with some
green
great
screens,
music in it, yeah. I might add. Like, some real fun songs.
Sure.
I thought the music was terrible.
I
thought it was like vintage her. I thought it was very much like
the only song that I think
like
is
like the
good.
Songs from 20 years ago.
No. Dominic, what?
Dominic. I thought it was like the music
Jenny from the
ago.
Block is like, or
I thought
like,
it was just, it sounds it, just like
it doesn't
that.
Sound like I'm glad. I'm glad is one of her best songs.
Sounds just like all that. Sounds that whole,
no,
I felt like these
disagree.
Songs sound just like that.
I feel like she should have put the money, if she was going to sink $20 million into a project, maybe like get great producers and great songwriters rather than putting it into this film.
But it all sounds the same to me because I don't ever, and I like Jennifer Lopez. I would think I would call myself a fan, but I don't wake up and say, I think while I'm vacuuming today, I'm going to listen to some Jennifer Lopez. Like it's not, she's not a style of music to me the way like a Britney or a Madonna album is. Like a Jennifer Lopez album is just like, oh, I'll dance to this when it comes on in between other shit that I actually selected.
This brings me to one of my favorite quotes in the doc when she goes, it's not like anybody's clamoring for a new J-Lo album.
I can't believe loved she it. Even left that in there. I can't even believe she left that in there. She knows.
No, but that brought me back to her side a little bit. I was like, okay, you know that like no one cares. Like you get it.
I hated the film. I loved the documentary.
It was terrible, but like I assumed it would be terrible because it's a
the documentary was a comedy for me.
Same.
I mean, and beyond. Same. It's
well,
it's
so the, was the so was the film. The film was a comedy of errors for me.
Just to be clear, for the few people who may not know, so she releases this film, This Is Me Now, and then a week or two later releases a documentary about the making of it, which, you know, when a film is worthy of having a documentary about the making of it, typically society will have more than 2 to 3 weeks to establish whether or not a film is legendary enough to warrant a 90-minute film, to warrant a documentary that's longer than the film, about whether or not it's worthy of that. The documentary is like beyond reproach.
Oh, I feel like we're so on different sides of this. I feel like the documentary was giving me like a peek inside so many things and I loved it.
Oh my God.
Was it terrible? Yes. But like, I was like, oh, this is her like talking with all these people. I just like felt like I really did see an inside of her life a little bit, at least like in the train wreck of producing this film. And it was fun. Okay, let's go through the film very quickly.
Uh-huh.
She's on a motorcycle. Well, first there's like this weird like love, star-crossed lovers of like the flower and the hummingbird. And we don't know what it means. And it's just like, no matter what they can do, they can never be together. We don't know why or how or where or when. But these two gods turn into a hummingbird and a flower and they want to be together, but they can't. So there are hummingbirds and flowers in every single scene of this thing for absolutely no reason. She then is on a motorcycle with someone and then it like crashes and she falls off. We never see her again. We never see like where she is or why, who was on the motorcycle with her. We don't know where that was. She never gets back to it. She wakes up in a hospital bed. All her friends are really like concerned for her. She then does this weird domestic violence, modern dance song where they're tied together physically by a rope with what Dominic thought was camp and was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Then we get to her doing the weddings. Every part of it, I'm like, why is this here? Why is this here? Oh, she gets married three times. Okay, it's three different husbands, blah, blah. Why is the friend stealing plates? Why are the friends like, it's just so, every single part of it was so unneeded and so unfocused.
At least talk about the husbands that, which husbands were gay.
Yeah.
I mean, what, isn't Chris Judd gay?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
I had to Google him. I had to like bring him back up.
Oh, I remember him vividly.
And what was the other guy's name? Like Ona? What was
Ohani it? Ohani Noah.
Yeah. Like I had to Google him.
He was the starter marriage. Then it was Chris Judd. One of them is gay.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. It's just so every single, like, how do we continue? Then she gets married. She keeps getting divorced. Then there's like the Casper character, which I love that she doesn't talk about Casper at all, except for like the time when she brings that guy home and like, he's not in the documentary. She doesn't talk about him at all, but like, we remember Casper. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
Like we remember Casper and he was like trying to not like she was trying to like skip right past that. I'm like, no, you were with him for like a long time. This wasn't like a boy toy that you just had for 2 days. And like, you might want to forget that, but we don't. Anyway, she's a sexy welder with like a heart thing that gets fed by rose petals that keeps it alive. And that's a whole allegory that goes on for, and then there's hummingbirds everywhere. She does a dance with a hummingbird. It's fucking crazy. It's a fever dream at best, but that is what it is. But we now then get this documentary that I watched last night called The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And this is truly where we need to start because it shook me like a fucking rattle.
And I love how Ben Affleck goes, but it feels like we're telling it. It feels like
He goes, I gave her this album. So Ben Affleck, and P.S. Dominic called me this morning in a fit of rage, like screaming at me on the phone that this was like the craziest thing he's ever watched. And he's like horrified and like hates it. And so this is going to be so funny.
I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'll watch it three more times at least before I bury it for good. I mean, it is truly the most self-indulgent thing I've ever seen a celebrity do, is to shoot a documentary in tandem with shooting the most ridiculous short film maybe that's ever been shot, addressing the film as though it was this work of genius and we needed to know everything that went into it. It was literally, I mean, I think I would refer to this entire trilogy as Citizen Lame, is what I'm calling it for the rest of my life. This was the masterpiece that she wanted to give us. It starts off in the first 5 minutes. She's like, people must have looked at my life and all my marriages and thought, who is this fucking girl? What's wrong with her? No one ever thought that. They just thought you like dick. It's not a big deal. No one was like, what's wrong with her with all these marriages? You're a celebrity. I feel like everybody does that.
Well, can I ask a question? The only person I might compare her to is Jennifer Aniston, in the sense of,
yes, correct,
society, you know, a celebrity, a beautiful, famous woman around the same age who kind of couldn't get the relationship, like had a big high profile relationship that ended and then kind of went, you know, became like a, what is that? Like a monogamous, what is that? A serial monogamist.
Right.
But could never quite land it, except I guess her relationships were a lot more public. But all of this to say,
no, it's very the same of like, oh, she can never catch a break. And it's like,
her childhood trauma was that she was a middle child. And they, if I were her parents, I would be like, J-Lo, fuck you. She's like, my dad worked nights and slept all day, so we weren't close. He was supporting you, Jennifer. He wasn't neglecting you. And then she goes, and my mother was a narcissist and the life of the party. I've seen her drag her mother to like 1,000 public events before. They get along swimmingly, and she's making it seem like I had to stand out from my older and younger sister. So I joined track so I could fill the house with trophies and people would talk about them. It's like, okay, so you're a brat. You're not a victim.
Oh my God.
But what are we talking about?
But I took that as like, oh, they were really horrible to her and she just like doesn't want to say it.
Bullshit. I don't think they were horrible to her at like, all. Okay, I don't. Okay. Her trauma was that she's Jam Brady. That was her, that was the trauma.
Yeah, for real. Basically, she's like, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. I wrote this script. And you see her and Ben like typing away on the script. And Ben does not want to be a part of this at all. And yet she like forces him to be. And I think that they were like stealing shots of him. Like when he's on that interview couch, I think that that's from like, remember when she's in her interview, like her main master interview, and you hear his voice talking because he's like interviewing her. I think eventually they turn the camera towards him and started shooting him. And he's on that couch because it's so close on his face. I don't think he wanted to do an interview and they just like stole it. We're like, just, oh, you're talking? Okay, here. And then like, they were like, we will pick this up if you guys put him in the documentary is what I think. So I think he's like,
I do think his participation was part of the deal. I do think it was part of the deal because otherwise, why would they want it? I do question whether or not he's like being dragged kicking and screaming into this. After I watched the documentary, which I watched before I watched This Is Me Now. And when I watched the documentary, I'm like, I couldn't really tell whether or not he was a willing participant. But then in the first 5 minutes of the actual movie, when he's playing a character with a Southern accent, it's some like, whatever the preacher is on CNN, he just sounds like a televangelist. I'm like, he wasn't drag kicking and screaming into this at all. He's playing. I didn't know. I couldn't tell if he was acting or
he's
like all over it. I'm like, this is, he knows what he's doing.
He's acting the whole time is what he's doing. And I think she's being so earnest. Then another beautiful scene. They're all sitting at this like beautiful sunroom that she has. And they're like talking about all these people that are like not available to do the movie. And they're like, Taylor Swift isn't available. Jason Momoa isn't available. Jennifer Coolidge isn't available. Lizzo isn't available. And it was just wild to see them just truly be like, yeah, not NA, like not available, not available. And just straight up be like, and she's like, okay, And she thinks she's like the little engine that could. She's like, these, they don't believe in my vision. And then she ended up saying, Khloe Kardashian and those others, like, they're just scared to put themselves out there, which is what I'm doing.
That was the strangest line. It was the strangest line. Like, how do you, first of all, how do you figure that the Kardashians haven't put themselves out there? We've seen now, their vaginas, for God's sakes.
While she's saying this, when I tell you her face is moving, people are like, she has such good Botox. I'm like, she doesn't have Botox. Like, we are seeing wrinkles on her forehead. We are seeing her face move.
That.
This is not Kristen Davis in season one of And Just Like That. This is...
Oh, not even close.
Like, she is just that beautiful.
I mean, I'm suspect of anyone her age in Hollywood who looks that good. So I can't ever tell what someone's at. I also don't even know the level of procedures that happen with people now. Like, she could have had something preventative done many years ago, but she looks natural. She looks completely natural.
She does look completely natural, but later on when they flash back to her with Jane Fonda in Monster in Law, it's because she's younger. She has more kind of like baby fat on the face. Like as you age, your face does tend to like thin out just naturally. So that could be what we're seeing. Or I mean, you can look, there's a guy online. I watch these videos all the time. He's a plastic surgeon in New York, and he literally goes through, he does this with Madonna. He'll go year by year and show you like exactly what they've had.
I'm upset. Wait, you need to send that to me. Why have you not? That's like my.
He'll be like, oh yeah, she had a lower blepharoplasty, the eyelids. Like he'll tell you that she's had the whole face. He would probably say she had like a mini facelift.
I mean, sure. But regardless, like she looks incredible. Like she doesn't look like a person that's had plastic surgery, like which is what you want.
She's like, dewy and fresh. She looks great in every scene. Even all these certainly unproduced behind the scenes conversations where I mean, like this, the thought that you're getting an actual glimpse of like the shit is like,
no,
you must be kidding. But
I know, but
in that scene, you left out the best line of the entire documentary. Which I was actually shocked that they left in because it's so cunty. But they're going through all these names and everyone is saying no. And then someone goes, do you want Vanessa Hudgens? And J-Lo goes, for what?
Slam.
It was just like 5 seconds of silence. It's like, what did Vanessa Hudgens do to you? I'm not here to defend her. I don't know the woman, but I want to know what she did to
J-Lo. I mean, she's absolutely not as famous as the other people that are up there, but like, slam.
Benny Medina said, this is not a music video. Literally 10 minutes later in the documentary, Jennifer Lewis says, they called me and said, will you be in a J-Lo music video?
Did
Benny Medina tell you can't say that?
Jennifer Lewis is the star of the documentary.
Yeah, 100%.
Supporting actress for sure.
Yeah. When she walked in and she was screaming at the top of her lungs. Again, if you guys have not seen this, just go to my Instagram story, go to the highlights, the J-Lo highlights. She walks in and the walls are vibrating because she's screaming so loud. And she's like, I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I'm J-Lo. Like,
no, do you know where else she does that? In my interview with her.
No.
Yes.
I feel
after you look at Chris's Instagram stories, go back on my actual Instagram. You'll see me and Jennifer Lewis, and Jennifer Lewis is fucking screaming like a goddamn preacher. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
I bet she does it in every room she walks into, including a bathroom where only one toilet.
She's out of her mind. No, she's legitimately out of her mind, and it is amazing. Oh, Dominic, how did you feel about whenever she did her like J-Lo walking around making decisions montage?
So thank goodness the cameras were there on these two isolated days when she was making 20 decisions back to back about everything from what mud they would dance in to dance moves to why isn't the set ready? Like, thank goodness we were rolling during that one pivotal day. And then she got to be a bitch and drive away as though like, you know, that she'd had enough and everyone was letting her down. Also, I know we're not going to fix Ben Affleck this week, but is he suffering from the same disease that Austin Butler had with Elvis, where he's now just mumbling like Batman for the rest of his life, Ben Affleck?
Yes.
Like, douchey Batman.
I love Ben Affleck. I love a Boston guy. I've always really been into Ben Affleck. Are you guys watching The Traitors?
Of course we are. What do you mean?
Okay. To me, Ben Affleck has slowly morphed. Like he and CT
are the same person.
The same.
I love CT. I love Ben Affleck. I mean, I think they're both, I would sit anywhere.
I love a scruffy Austin gay. Not them. Gay, guy. Excuse me.
Ding dong.
That was a Freudian slip.
It sure was.
I was thinking to myself that they were much more a matched set than I'd ever thought before.
Oh, because they're both out of their minds? Yes.
Yes. Like they were both like when he was driving the narrative forward about her, when he was like, you know, part of Jen's journey is that as a kid, she was emotionally neglected. I'm like, she wasn't locked in a basement. This isn't the movie Room. She was a middle child and a track star. Why are you convincing her that she was emotionally neglected because her dad had to work? I don't under. It wasn't like what they're portraying, and he's enabling her by all this stuff. He says something at the end of the movie. He's like, she's still pushing that rock uphill. Like, What rock I know. Are you talking about?
That's the thing is like, okay, did you notice that whenever she was, when she had her like her breakdown, which Dominic, I know that you believed was really real when she was crying in her gym. When she was doing,
She was crying,
she was like, I'm not at this premiere with Ben and he's there. When she shows
Oh my God, I can't.
When she
I did pause to look up what the movie was and I'm assuming it was Air.
I think so. When she shows the phone, it's like her agent or that woman or someone texting her like links to like articles about him being at the premiere. Like she's so in the like I don't like if there's a Page Six article written about J-Lo, like I don't think she's reading it. But like I've now just been proven in this documentary that she is reading it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. In that scene though, honestly, I paused it to look up what the movie was. And while I paused it, I was marveling at how well manicured her hand was when she was holding it to her face to wipe her tears. Beautiful. And I was like, again, thank God we were there to capture all this when you were like freshly powdered and primed.
But did you also notice there's one interview where she it looks like she's not wearing any makeup and she looks beautiful. She looks like very fresh face.
No, she looks great.
A lot of the documentary she did.
But like they're so wrapped up in the press of it all. Like she thinks that she's like it's like them against the world, and that's just like not what it is. We're all like, oh yeah, they're finally together. Like I'm not like hating on them.
I love Ben saying, you know, the one condition was that I didn't want our relationship to be in social media, but then I realized he goes, it's like falling in love with a fisherman, but saying that you don't want to be on the water. Yeah. That analogy.
Oh, he really thought, he really thought he did something there. Like he thought
he's Christ-like.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Jane Fonda for a moment. Jane Fonda is one of the 12 zodiacal characters on the Zodiacal Council, which includes such luminaries as Neil deGrasse Tyson, Kim Petras, Trevor Noah, Jennifer Lewis, Sofia Vergara, who it turns out really does not speak a lick of English. I thought this was a joke. I thought she'd been like impersonating Charo for the past 15 years.
She really
can't. The best part of the actual film is at the end when she says, this is one of the strangest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
That's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda obviously has a relationship with Jennifer Lopez from Monster in Law. And at one point, Jane Fonda is talking to
you clearly see is not real, by the way. When they get
friendship.
On the phone and their friendship, she's like, is this Jennifer? Like, they don't even have each other's number.
Of course not.
Do you know what
of
I'm course, saying? Like, it's so not real.
That Jane gave at J-Lo's Hollywood Walk of Fame. Well, it was the most sort of antiseptic. She talked about Jennifer Lopez's ass during this. It's like, your actual friend's not going
to
do that.
Yeah, at all. Which is fine, but you're not. Continue.
But she says to her, to even back that up more, is that when she's having like the pre-roll conversation with J-Lo before she does her scene in the movie, Jane Fonda's like, I was so worried. Like, I see on the Grammys, Ben looks miserable. And I think, are they breaking up? It's like, well, wouldn't your very dear friend know that maybe what she watches on the Grammys isn't true? Unless it was. But then she starts talking, Jane Fonda, and saying, you know, again, this is a part of the movie where it's supposed to be autobiographical, but maybe isn't. This part apparently was autobiographical when they're talking about J-Lo's character, and Jane Fonda's character says they're going to call her a man-eater. They're saying she's a man-eater. And then Jane breaks character and looks at J-Lo and says, did they call you a man-eater? Like, even Jane Fonda's like, why are we saying these things about you? Did the world really think you were a man eater?
No, I'm
and
saying
she goes, J-Lo looks at Jane Fonda and goes, they called me many things. And then Jane Fonda goes, join the club. So they're sort of marketing like that J-Lo and Jane are warriors and survivors, and J-Lo comparing herself to Jane Fonda.
How dare you? Thank you. Yes,
how
agreed.
Dare you?
How Jane Fonda like went to Vietnam to protest the war. Like she like
Jane Fonda fucked world leaders. You're married to Ben Affleck, not Roger Vadim, not Ted Turner, not Tom Hayden, Ben Affleck. Step so far back, Jennifer Lopez, that I can't see you. Go back.
Oh, screaming, breathless.
Do you know what this was, this documentary? This is what I didn't want to say to you on the phone today, Christopher. This was like when you're watching someone this earnest in doing some, like trying to portray something, and they don't understand that they are delivering a camp classic. This, what is it? The greatest love story never told.
Never told.
Is Grey Gardens to me. It is the same thing to me.
But I disagree. I don't think in a year we're going to be talking about this.
No, of course not.
This is not Grey Gardens.
We're not. We're not. Dominic, we're not. You know that we're
not. This is not John Waters.
Let's set the timer. No, not on that level, of course. Of course.
No one is going to remember this. Or never one is going to remember this enough to make fun of. Past this month.
I think if I watch it a second time, I'm going to solidify the five lines that I'm just going to. First of all, for the rest of my life, when someone says, I have one more question, I'm going to say, is it, do you want Vanessa Hudgens? That's always what I'm going to say.
Wait, and how about whenever she has to like, they're like, we need you to touch the mud. And she's like, I have to leave. And she's like running away and they like ambush her car. I thought that's what you were going to say when she's like, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. She said, it's been long enough of a day. That's what she kept saying.
I was upset with that part. That was comedy.
I loved it.
I mean, at the end when they just, they're trying desperately to wrap it up. And it didn't feel like enough people noted this before they put it on Amazon. No,
Dominic, like of course not.
They had a couple of the principals in the film, like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Ben and other people, deliver like a parting thought. And it was like, everyone had a different parting thought about what we had just seen. It was like, love yourself. We are stardust. Art is beauty. There were nine different themes and they just never tied together.
And well, much like the
movie. And they were all platitudes.
Much like the film, it was like, yes, like we are all stardust. Like Neil deGrasse Tyson, like you're famous for that quote. Like we all know that you're going to say that. So it's like, get something else. Like
This Is Me Now was basically a non-equity Wizard of Oz written by someone who doesn't speak any language. That was it. Can I also tell you,
it totally was. Dominic, you are so right.
My other favorite part of this movie, other than I'm never going to stop saying it, do you want Vanessa Hudgens? For what? My other favorite thing was when one of the guys playing one of J-Lo's lovers got to meet Ben Affleck in between takes.
Electric.
And he fangirls out. That he's his favorite Batman.
And sounds exactly like this guy that I hook up with, who we call on this podcast, What It Do. When he went up to Ben Affleck and was like, yo, my brother's a huge fan. Like, first of all, that's
not me.
That like, was funny enough.
Slam.
And then the second part of it was, my brother's a huge fan. You made Armageddon, dude. I still listen to that song. I'm like, okay, he's not
Steven Tyler.
Aerosmith. It was great. I was like, I am glad that the adulation you put in here was from someone who doesn't know who you are.
But the same guy says, why didn't you guys do another? He goes, Gigli, why didn't you guys?
Jiggly.
Why don't you guys do another movie? And then like they crack. I did enjoy Ben Affleck. I love Ben Affleck. Fuck. Him just being like, yeah, that's why we didn't do another movie. Or like the two of them were like making fun of it.
He goes, when are you two doing another movie together? What was the last one? Jiggly? And J-Lo goes, that's why we haven't done another one. Like, fucking hilarious. Like,
you want to know a fun fact about me? I saw Gigli in the theater.
How dare you?
Can I say something? I actually liked it.
I know you did because you fucking love Ben Affleck.
I liked it and because I love Ben Affleck, and J-Lo played a lesbian in that movie.
Oh, brother.
Another lesbian who hooks up with Ben Affleck in a movie.
He is really obsessed with that because when I was IMDBing him today, his first directorial credit is called, please hold. His first directorial effort is from 1993. It's a short film called I Killed My Lesbian Wife, Hung Her on a Meat Hook, and Now Have a 3-picture deal at Disney.
I knew this.
He is obsessed with lesbians. He's truly like between.
That's why you love him so much, Jess.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest
thing. Chasing Amy is a problematic fave of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. I mean, what do we do with this?
Okay. Here are my final thoughts. Okay. Or my final questions. Do you think J-Lo and Ben Affleck are going to make it?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
They have to. They have to.
because they've now combined the families or because they put us through this.
All of it. All of it. She's now made a movie about the love and a movie about the love. At one point, Ben Affleck, who appears to be the world's most perfect partner, gave her, upon their reunion after 18 years apart or whatever, gave her a binder full of all of their love notes and emails. And when they were recording the album that accompanies this monstrosity, they left the binder in the room and anyone walking in the room had access to it. Some of the songwriters overly praise the fact that they have access to this book. There's a songwriter in there named Fangs, with two A's, I might add. I've never heard of this person before. But Fangs says, it was like she let us touch it. And I said, this is paper. What are you doing? I'm like, this is not a Dead Sea Scroll. Jesus Christ. It's Ben Affleck emailed Jennifer Lopez and probably said, nice ass. I don't think that should, why? Bizarre.
My recommendation to everybody listening would be skip the film, but do watch. The real entertainment is in the doc.
I 100% agree with you.
But you gotta watch. No, I think that you need to watch the film first because you need to appreciate like what they are talking about. Like in theory, you could be seeing this and go, oh, that looks like really cool. Like the fact that you already know what they're speaking about, you have to watch it chronologically. I'm sorry. Because you need to know the pile of horseshit that they're talking about at every turn that like, you know what I'm saying?
So now that it's been out for 2 weeks or whatever, do you think like, do you think J-Lo is embarrassed?
No.
Or is she proud?
I think she loves it.
No, I think she's proud. It has like, good. It has like 4.5 stars on Amazon. I'm certain they're taking some of the reviews away to make that happen, but it's pretty, you know.
All right, I think it's time to fix Jennifer Lopez. We're on a roller coaster that we can't get off of. I don't see this documentary as the end of this. And I don't know what she does next after this is over. Like, you've now just opened your life up in this way that I think it needs to continue. And I think the next logical step is that her and begrudgingly Ben Affleck start a podcast called The Greatest Love Story That's Happening Right Now. Like something
my
like
God.
That.
God.
And they just talk and she has like so much she wants to say. And it's just them blabbing away and him just like showing up for 2 minutes to speak to her and then her having on like a celebrity guest who like talks with her about like, I want people to come on the podcast to be like, here's what I think of your journey, J-Lo. And then let's talk about it. Like when I saw this happen to you, I thought this and then.
So they're not taking like relationship question. They're not doing relationship advice.
No.
Because it's all about them.
No. It's literally like a vehicle for J-Lo to tell her story. Because she wrote a memoir. It didn't like, it was bad. Like, Chelsea DeMontes like reviewed it. It was terrible. Like she didn't say anything in it. Like she did a memoir and she like tries to pretend that she didn't and she did. She did the film. She's now doing this documentary. I want like, not Chelsea Handler, but like in that world, like, Chelsea Handler comes on and is like, I always watched you as someone who like was in relationships and blah, blah, blah. And like, I remember when you and Ben Affleck, when you wore that green, you know what I loved whenever they flash back to them right before the wedding, when she wore that one shoulder green, like mint green dress that was really long. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that dress and those pictures were everywhere because that was right before they got divorced or like broken off. Like, I remember when you wore that green dress and like blah, 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 and this like, and then J-Lo like responds to the, how they felt about her because J-Lo needs to realize that like everyone's rooting for her and we all, even if we don't like her, all collectively as a society and a planet agree that she's the most beautiful person alive. So like, I want her to hear that like people were like, no, I was rooting for you because she truly thinks it's like her and Ben against the world. And like, she can't get off this ride. I need more of it. Now that she's done this to us, like I need more.
Can I ask a question about the podcast?
Yes.
A year in, what will the average ratings and reviews be on Apple Podcasts?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's what. It could be a train wreck. I don't care. I will listen to every single
episode. They transcend
that
anyway. They can buy the ring.
No, I just want to know.
It doesn't matter. I'm listening. Like, that's what I want is like just to hear her unedited. It could be like another documentary, but I just think like a podcast where she talks, I just am like, I need to hear how fucking insane she is.
That is my pitch.
Oh, Jennifer Lynn Lopez. I will say that we are not very far into 2024, but this film you made, I'm going to always use in quotes, this is me now. It's bad, good, campy, autobiographical, a sitcom. I'm never going to watch it again because it just was ridiculous. Like, not even like self-indulgent enough for me to like make fun of. This documentary, though, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, is the greatest thing I've seen in this calendar year.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to probably watch it on Oscar Sunday before the Oscars just because it's like what you do on Oscar Sunday. Like, you just watch nonsense before 3 hours of essentially fun nonsense. And it's fun. The documentary is fun, not in the way that you want it to be, but it is definitely just bizarre. And I think that I hope you never listen to this podcast and know how ridiculous it is. I want you to keep taking yourself as seriously as you do in this documentary. I essentially want you to be this millennium's Florence Foster Jenkins, and I want you to crank out a documentary about every fucking thing you do for the rest of your career. Every album, every movie, I want it to be, this is me. The camera crews are going to follow me in these spontaneous Knights of the Round Table board meetings with some of the most powerful managers and agents in Hollywood who will always let cameras in. I mean, you know, without any sort of restriction. And that's what I want. I want to see how ridiculous it gets. And I just want you to keep cranking out documentaries about your life. And I want Hollywood to keep telling you that it's because they are entertaining. And even though we're watching to see how ridiculous can it possibly get. And that is my pitch. I don't care what Jennifer Lopez does with the rest of her career as long as she documents it, period. I want her Truman showing her the shit out of the rest of her life.
And I think it's like they name it, but like, remember how it turned into like The Fast and the Furious, and then that was just like Fast and Furious. Like, it's like, this is still me now. Like, this is like this was me then, but it's also me now. Like the titles just get crazier.
The greatest ongoing love story that was semi-told kind of, or whatever. They'll just change it every time.
Yeah. Do I announce the winner?
Yes. What do you think?
Yeah.
The winner is Dom, because I would like more documentaries.
Yes, yes. Agreed.
And before we close out, I know that at the end of every episode, you ask, where's Shelley? But I have a better question.
I already know what it is. Go.
Where's Leah Remini, motherfucker?
Oh, I wasn't thinking. Where's Leah Remini?
Where's Leah Remini?
Leah Remini.
The only person that cares more about where's Shelley than you two. Where's Leah Remini?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Best friend, MIA for years.
Yeah.
I want that documentary. I want that podcast.
Where's Leah Remini? Question mark. Wow. Colon. The J-Lo story. Like, where is she?
I want a 6-part miniseries on that.
Are they not friends? Do you think Leah Remini was like, I'm not, are you kidding me? I'm not being a part of this. Like, do you think Leah Remini was like,
I think they fell out years ago.
You think?
Mm-hmm. She wasn't at the wedding.
She wasn't at their wedding?
I don't think so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it's been years.
That's sad. And again, she's going to be like, everyone is against me. And like, they don't realize that like me and Leah are like fell out and we're not friends anymore. Like, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you just like didn't say anything. So we've just like speculated for 3 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, but you can just tell us.
Honestly, though, this fits into my pitch. Because will be like the greatest best friendship never seen again.
Yeah.
The best torn apart best friendship never resolved. Let's do it.
That's the love story I care about. Their friendship, their best friendship.
Wow.
I wonder.
Wow.
Where's is it because Leah Jennifer Remini? Lopez, in fact, knows where Shelley is, but has not told Leah Remini?
Don't even say that, Dominic. Don't even say that. I mean,
she's a bigger star than Leah Remini.
She's a star. Okay, this is now getting dicey.
What I do, I'm going to amend my pitch. Nothing that will make it worse, but no matter what,
you already won.
I know, but I need to make it even better. No matter what happens, every documentary has to have a zodiacal council.
Yeah, Jennifer Lewis 12... has to bop her way right on camera.
Jennifer Lewis.
Like... No, the best was when she's like, I'm fucking Gemini. And she like, the twin. Yeah,
she goes, I'm Gemini. I'm playing that, you know, that split bitch. And I was like on the floor screaming. Like, are you aware that in Jennifer Lewis's memoir, she gives wisdom to the younger generation? She says, no matter what you do when you go to hook up with someone, you got to check the meat. And that is to make sure that no one that you have sex with has like an STI.
Wow.
She says, check the meat.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you can't always tell visually. I mean, someone can have an STI.
You gotta find out. Check the meat. All right. Wow. Dominic, a win. What a win. What a true whirlwind of an episode. We've screamed at each other. Dominic and I have disagreed. Probably worse than we ever have before. Jess has been there for it, and it was very uncomfortable for her.
Jess, was it uncomfortable?
No. Oh. I'm used to this. Nothing took place tonight that was more embarrassing than Chris
not knowing
that Madonna's name was Madonna.
Knew that was coming.
That's true. That is true.
Jess Rothschild, where can people find you?
My podcast is Hot Takes and Deep Dives. That's where you can find the latest episode with Chris and Dom, and JessXNYC on Instagram.
Jess, thank you so much for being here.
Jess, we love you so much. Thank you for returning. And you will be back to fix Ben Affleck.
Oh, I can't wait for Ben Affleck.
It's going to be sooner rather than later because I feel like the Lopez Afflecks are riding a wave right now. I don't know when it will crest again.
Yeah,
when that crashes,
what's going to happen? Yeah.
There's no way that Jennifer Lopez, after this trilogy of terror, there's no way she's just going to sit back and say, okay, 2024, go back to Beyonce and Taylor. She's going to do something. Her and Meghan Markle are percolating right now. And I don't know. Oh, they should do something together. Oh, wow. God, would that be phenomenal?
Yeah.
The greatest planned best friendship you
ever
never saw
seen
coming.
Once.
Next documentary.
The Windsors and the Laflecks. That's what I'm
the
calling
Laflex. Lopez Affleck's. The Laflecks.
Bennifer. Why did they not talk about Bennifer?
I don't know.
When they talked about like, oh, we were just living our lives. Like they talked a lot about like the media, like scrutiny. Why did they not say Bennifer? I wish they had said Bennifer. Okay. Anyway, Dominic, where can people
They would
find
have
you?
If they were acting like themselves and if it was an actual documentary rather than someone saying, show me the mud samples. And we were pretending like she's working 20 hours a day on her film.
Legitimately.
The website's domentary.com. The socials are at Dominic Pupa. Christopher, where can the listeners of this podcast find you?
You can find me at The Krista Rosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. And that's where you can find all the things. I wish you both well. And as always, where's Shelley? And also, where's Leah Remini?
Thank you.
Goodbye. J-Lo, tell Leah where Shelley is, because now we know you know.
And where's Kate Middleton? Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.